watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend, and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Let's see here. God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything? Anything? Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves on until 7 p.m. 8 hours of Pride-themed programming on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for documentaries, performances, and music by and about LGBTQIA2S+ individuals. Happy Pride to all our listeners.
Good morning. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. My name is Madeline Taylor, and you are tuned in right now to Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves, which is a special programming for Pride 2017. We have a huge variety of content coming to you all day long. We'll be on air until 8 p.m., finishing off with a live in-studio performance by local queer electronic artist Devours. He's fantastic. Make sure you tune in for that. But right now, I'm joined in studio live with two folks who are here representing the UBC Pride Picnic. So before we get to our conversation about what that is and what their roles are in it, we have a song chosen by Rachel, I believe. This is Bulletproof by LaRue on CITR.
I tried to send my information's just not
That was LaRue with Bulletproof on CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves Pride Programming for 2017. My name is Madeline Taylor. Thanks for tuning in. And right now I'm joined in studio with two very special guests, Adeline and Rachel. Can you both introduce yourselves, please? I'll start with Adeline.
For sure. So my name is Adeline Nguyen, and I am an equity facilitator at the UBC Equity and Inclusion Office. It basically means I do a lot of education and workshops, and I'll hand it over to my colleague over here.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Rachel Sullivan. I'm also an equity facilitator in the Equity and Inclusion Office, what we do is we help to educate around respectful environment, positive space. There's a lot of programs and workshops that we have that we can offer for the campus.
Fantastic. So today I have you in studio to talk in part about the Pride Picnic, which is happening outside the UBC bookstore today. So Adeline, can you tell us a little bit more about what the Pride Picnic is and how it got started?
Sure. This is hopefully the first of maybe many Pride picnics in UBC's future, so I'm going to call it the first annual right now. It's a collaboration between our office, the Equity Inclusion Office, between Campus Community Planning, UBC Sustainability Initiative, Jane Rule Endowment Fund, UBC Library, CITR, so a bunch of really great campus partners kind of came together and thought, how can we like animate and celebrate Pride? It being Pride Week in Vancouver this week. And it's also a way to celebrate and to raise some visibility around our Positive Space campaign, which has been around for a long time, since 2002. And both Rachel and I can speak a little bit about the Positive Space campaign, but it's essentially to raise visibility and solidarity for our LGBT Q2I kind of student staff and faculty on campus, as well as alumni. So we've got a Positive Space workshop mm-hmm. that we can really facilitate and deliver for anybody who's interested in having one. We also host them monthly starting in the fall, and then we get these cool Positive Space stickers, which
I
you can't
noticed.
See on the radio.
No, but I'll give a little description. Yeah. It's got the Pride flag rainbow, including the purple, which is very important to me personally. Mm-hmm. And it says Positive Space underneath, and I've seen them all over campus. Yes. Not excluding the tattoos that you both have on today in honor of the picnic. Can you tell me about where the Positive Space campaign got started and why it's so important, especially on a university campus, because mm-hmm. this is not something that every school has. For example, I went to SFU and it doesn't exist there. So
the sticker like that you just described so well is a big part of the campaign. And it used to be that you would take the workshop and then we would give you a sticker and you put it up and you'd be a Positive Space sort of resource person. So it could be in your classrooms, your offices, students can put them, in their residence rooms or anything like that. Now we give them a way to anybody who wants one. And the idea of displaying the sticker is around kind of identifying yourself as somebody, whether you're part of the community or you're an ally or, kind of trying to educate yourself to be an ally. And it kind of also indicates that you're willing to call out kind of engage in these difficult discussions around inclusion and welcome and respect on campus, and to point out microaggressions or things that may be happening around campus. And like I said before, like it's been around since 2002. Mm-hmm. So for the Equity and Inclusion Office, I think I always feel like it's our flagship kind of program. Mm-hmm. But Rachel's been here a little longer than I have, so I don't want to put her on the spot, but I thought I'd just like
yeah, Rachel, she maybe had something tell us a little bit about what your role has been in facilitating the Positive Space campaign and what you think about it.
Well, So I've actually been on campus since 2005. I came in as a PhD student. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, you know, going and taking a positive space workshop in 2005, you know, learning about, you know, what is the terminology. And even in that moment, I was thinking, you know, I was using terminology and I was learning, you know, don't put the ED like on transgender or two-spirit. You know, that was something that was moving in a direction. And so what I think is really, really lovely about the positive space workshop is that we're doing our best to stay on top of the shifts and the changes in language so that when we are educating and working with our community members here on campus, that we're actually doing the best we can to spread that education, to raise that awareness so that people are using the terminology that's current, which I think is really important. And then it's also about having our LGBTQ 2S, IA plus community members feel like they belong, which I think is really important. And so for me, you know, I identify as queer, and seeing rainbows around the campus is really motivating. It really gives me a sense that people care about these issues, that homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, and heterosexism or heteronormativity, all of the kind of ugliness that can be perpetuated against our community, that is something that people are willing to stand up against. And there's something that is just really lovely to know that I can come to a campus that I've have taught here, I've worked here for a long time, and that I'm welcome. Mm-hmm. And that has really had a big impact on my time here at UBC.
And it's also to surface that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Too, like, and not pretend it doesn't exist, that, you know, ooh, we have a queer marriage now, you know, and things like that. But to surface the fact that there are still barriers, mm-hmm. there's a lot of them, I think, especially when we talk about, you know, people who have gender identities or gender expression that isn't heteronormative, that isn't, you know, that's not cisgender. So I think that's one of the great things, I think, about the project, too.
Definitely. It's making visible oppression. It's also making visible the variety of identities that people live with and occupy. With that in mind, I'd like to transition back to the Pride picnic, which again, Pride is a celebration and also a protest. And it's a moment for queer visibility in all of these different ways all over the city. But at UBC, I haven't actually been over to look at it yet, but I've had it described to me that there are these pillars, physical pillars at the Pride picnic today that have displayed on them different images and short write-ups about research campaigns that have happened at UBC that look at positive spaces for LGBTQIA2S plus students. So, Rachel, I understand that one of your project is displayed. Can you talk a little bit about your research, please?
Absolutely.
Great.
So, one of the things that I was really moved by when I came here to do my PhD was just how longstanding some of the queer organizing that had been happening on campus. And I really wanted to look at, you know, what is a campus? Why is it a little bit different than other places in Vancouver or in BC or across Canada? And so what I did was look at how queer and trans students navigate and understand the campus as a queer space. And in my project, which I was really, it's such a neat idea, especially in 2009 when I actually conducted my research, I interviewed 26 queer and trans students here on campus. And in addition to my almost 3-hour interviews following, you know, where were they coming from? What happened in high school? What was their coming out experience? How did they identify? What was that journey like? I also wanted to know how they saw the campus. And so in that interview process, I had them color code a campus map, identifying the places that they had never been, the places they go all the time. And out of that, what spaces did they avoid? And what spaces did they see as queer welcoming or queer friendly? And from that, from those maps and our discussion about the maps, a really interesting image of the campus kind of came clear to me. And so there's a couple of ways in which students tended to navigate the campus. Some students, if they could pass and they were in a space where they really felt like it was just not possible to be who they were, then they might do that. Another option is that they might blend blend in, which means that they would, if you ask them directly, of course they would say, you know, how they identified, but they would leave it kind of, you know, so that it was more subtle, and they wouldn't necessarily feel free to express that. And then there were some folks that just didn't go to places where they didn't feel welcome. And that was how they navigated that. What I really loved, though, is that people often had a way of navigating to queer identified spaces, queer welcoming, queer friendly. And so, you know, it was really neat to see, you know, what were the characteristics of these spaces. Usually, if there was a staff person or a faculty person who was openly out, that was a big plus. If themes around gender and sexual diversity were celebrated, again, that was a big plus. And if there was also room to challenge heteronormativity, other forms of oppression, that also helped to elevate that space as queer welcoming and queer friendly in students' minds. And so what I walked away with from that research was that queer students, queer and trans students, really had a kind of psychic weight, that they were constantly asking, you know, is this space welcoming? You know, are the gender norms here too strict to allow for a little bit of play? That was often a characteristic that they would be kind of imagining as they move through the space. What I really appreciate is that the Positive Space program was a key piece of, like, you know, if I knew people who had been to Positive Space and they had their rainbow sticker up, then that was, you know, a signal that they were able to, you know, be who they were, express themselves in a way that made them feel the most welcome and comfortable.
That's brilliant, because there are so many signals that queer folks have used over, you know, the decades and the centuries to indicate to each other, like, I exist, I'm here, I am like you, maybe I think you're cute. Like, you know, there are all of these different things. So using that same sort of quiet visual code to mm-hmm. welcome people into different campus spaces is really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe before we finish up here, can you talk a little bit more about other things that are happening at the Pride picnic?
Sure. Like, and I'm really happy that they've got that little kind of research art, radical research kind of installation that's happening with at the Pride picnic. Because, like you're saying, Pride is about being political as well. So I think captures that element of it. But there's also a lot of celebration. So if you wander down in front of the bookstore by Lee Square, you'll see a bunch of rainbow balloons, rainbow flags. We also have the trans flag out there, and there's going to be a food truck. I believe CITR will be out there doing some vibes, so there'll be a DJ and a dance floor.
Yeah, shout out to Tim. He's DJing right now.
yeah, so I think it's just going to be really a celebratory sort of mood out there, a lot of visibility. I know the Pride Collective's out there. We're out there. And just so many opportunities to have fun. It starts at 11. It goes till around 2.
One of the things that I think is really cool is that the collection of partners have come together. It's pop-up library. And then if you come in and visit the booths, there's an opportunity to get a voucher for $4 off at the food truck if you go and visit all of the partners. And you get like a card, it gets filled out, which I think is really great, because we want to encourage people learning more about the resources that are here on campus, and also that kind of networking, you know, hanging out kind of atmosphere. It's almost like we brought a little bit of Vancouver Pride to campus, mm-hmm. which I think is a great idea.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you both for being here with me today in the studio to talk about your research and the event. And thank you for your work on making UBC a safer place and a more welcoming and fun place for the LGBTQ+ community.
And thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks very much.
It's our pleasure. So everyone, get your butts down to the UBC Pride picnic outside of the bookstore. It's also another great landmarker is the Musqueam totem that's right there with the river serpent around the legs of the person depicted. So if you are lost, look for that. All right, we're going to finish up here. I believe whose suggestion was Madonna song?
I can't remember. Me.
That was Adeline. So we're going to finish up with Madonna's Holiday here on CITR. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned. We've got lots more Pride theme programming for you coming up.
CITR Tunes, Slam Poetry, Cheap Street Eats, Queer Pop-Up Library, and more. Pop by UBC's first outdoor pride picnic to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Positive Space on campus. Come for a fun and inclusive party outside the UBC bookstore on August 3rd